457. Hussidious Big Vern, Slay Diddy, the Honorable Slay Diddy.
Yes, yes.
J Mac. This is the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskills. All right, so Slay, why don't you do me a favor? Would you please talk us into this first part of this interview, man, and get everybody that's listening and caught up to speed, man.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a while. It's been a little bit, you know, since we got Screw back on the air. We first started this a year ago, 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Two years ago, yeah. And one thing about these is we can't rehearse them. It's a one take and you going. And we basically, he doesn't know what we're going to say. We don't know what he's going to say. And it's just raw. And that's what makes it beautiful. You know, that it's very raw. This is a feeling of someone who, you know, is a very intelligent man who's doing a bunch of time. And, you know, he's had an effect on the community and a hold on the community that, you know, people really respect the things that he says. And we're happy. We got him, you know, about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it's picks up right where we always leave off. And we tried to hit on all the big topics and go from there. Shout out to, you know, everybody that's listening in, that's locked down.
Yeah.
Shout out to, you know, all the controversy that the last Screw taping caused.
Yep,
But we still gonna do it. Yep. How you gonna get it, baby?
I do want to piggyback that too, because a lot of people might wonder and ask, why do you guys have him on the radio? You know, to you, he was committed for a crime, and why do you continue to give him an outlet?
Mm-hmm.
We do that because our community needs him. He is someone that had a stronghold on the community, and people love him, they respect him, and if anything that he can say can get through to somebody that's out here so they never have to go through that, then we did exactly what we were attempting to do, and he feels the same way. So that's why no matter what anybody tries to do, we're going to continue to have him on this air. And for you, you might see it as something, but we see it as like a rehab. Like, it's therapy for him as well as our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things are happening, and we think he has the answers to help us fix these things. And
that
makes sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the first part. We're going to play it, and then we'll be back. Here we go.
You will not be charged for this call. This call is from
Rashid Daniels,
an inmate at a federal prison. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. Hang up to decline the call or to accept. Dial 5 now. If you wish to block any...
Yo.
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 What's up?
Yeah, we got you on the air, man.
Man, what's happening, bro?
What's going on? What's good with you? It's good to hear your voice, man.
Long time coming, man. What's up with it, Vern? What's happening, boy?
I can't call it Screw, man. I'm just happy to hear from you, dog.
Peace, man. How your holidays was, man?
You know what, Screw, man? We get into the age now that our holidays are decided by how good our kids feel after what we did to make sure they okay. So, I had pretty good holidays, man. The kids was happy, so that makes me happy.
That's a blessing. I understand that.
Slay, you good? Yo, and one more thing, Slay. So, Screw, yesterday, which is, the 26th, I go to GameStop, man, because I got to get, I got to buy some more stuff, right? You know what I'm about to say?
Yeah,
man.
There's a young guard out there.
Yeah. He out there, man. He working hard. You know what I'm saying? And it made me proud, man, knowing that I was going to speak to you today. But, you know what I'm saying, I dapped him up, and the lines was crazy out there. But he out there working, man.
Mm-hmm.
He putting that work in.
Yeah.
I have a good job, man. I just, you know, hope you apply more, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just the beginning.
Yeah.
You ready to get started?
I'm always ready, P. You know what it is.
So we just came off a big end-of-the-year interview. Vern, you want to talk quickly about that? Because that's going to segue into, you know, our first question for you.
Yeah. So
what was it?
I'm going to tell you right now, Screw. So listen, Gary Dempsey, shout out to Smooth. He reached out to me, man. You remember Tone Fulton, right?
Who? Tony? Yeah.
So Tone Fulton, man, he reached out to Smooth and said that he wanted a platform so he could tell his story. He said that he had had some hard times, he had dealt with some things, and he wanted to be on the air and tell his story. So we did an interview with him, and I mean, yo, Screw, I'm telling you, this interview was so deep. But the one thing about it that he mentioned a lot was the fact that he did 6 prison terms after being addicted to drugs. So it kind of ties us into this question about back then when it was our people that was addicted to drugs, it was a crime, they go to jail. And now with the opioid, you know, epidemic, now we got new rules for it. Slay?
Yeah, now that everybody get help. We ain't get the help same extension though.
This call is from a federal prison.
So we just
want. That's just.
Go
ahead.
We wanted to get your take on, you know, the opioid epidemic that's, you know, all over the nation now, and it's been hitting Columbia County bad. And also your take on a lot of the music now, where they're saying now it used to be glorifying the dealer, but now it's more glorifying the user, and what you think about that.
It's cool to be a fiend now, fam. You know what I'm saying? It ain't cool, man. We see it in here. Dudes run around. They be hitting the K2, right? And if you see how these dudes look, like, I be like, damn, fam. Like, they wild. Like, who would want to be acting like that? Like, what? You know, I pop my couple pills and eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have my little doubles and doubles, but I have my limits. I have priorities over that, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't gonna just push everything aside just to get high, man. You know what I'm saying? I worked, I did my thing, man, and I ain't doing nothing during it. I ain't smoked weed, you know, since 02. You know what I'm saying? Maybe once in a while I might hit a little spider leg, but I ain't been, you know, I don't do that. I drink, party on the weekend, but I know, I prioritize your life, man. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's what it is. And with the opioid thing, man, you know, that's what they call it, man. The chickens coming home to roost, man. My man said it the best, man. They flooded our communities with it. It was flooded. Became a problem. They criminalized it. We was monsters. Now everybody need help, man. We been needed help. But this goes to show you, ain't nobody going to help us but us, man. So recognize what's going on, man. Help yourself, man. Nobody going to help you but yourself, man, but ourselves, man. So that's how I see that, man. But that's an ugly thing. That joint vicious.
Yeah.
That opioid vicious. Yeah, that joint vicious.
The opioid,
I mean, we seen it. Like, I think what happened is, you know, we seen, like, us seeing firsthand, like, the struggle when the people messed up. Okay, you seen it. Like, we seen it. We experienced family members. Like, we seen it. So, us growing up, you know, I don't know what happened now. We tended to stray away from that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, as I got older, I seen, like, when I was coming up, a lot of the older black people, everything, they was all smoking. But, you know, as we get older, like, ain't no new fiends, ain't no new people with smoking crack. Like, them was the same people, but it was more the European people that was, you know, buying it all now. Like, we wasn't, like, because we experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, we, you know, it's different with us. I don't know, man. That drink, like, look at the Indians to them, man, that opioid drink, man.
Yeah.
That drink killing them, man, by a lot, and it's sad, man, but, you know.
But
flooded their communities.
Yep. On the same token, do you think that with this whole new look at it, with the programs and stuff like that, do you think that our culture will be able to take advantage of the help that they're offering, or should we stay in the whole "you didn't worry about us then, so don't worry about us now" type of aspect?
For me, I look at it from a monetary point of view, right? If you can go take some type of counseling class, learn how to be a counselor, because what they're doing right now is they're setting aside, and see, this is how they get rich. You got to understand the schemes, how they get rich. Big pharma flooding the market, right? They don't pay, they don't get in trouble, they get to do what they do, ain't nobody paying attention to them, they just pumping their drugs by the millions, right? And so what they do is they say, yo, all right, now these people, the citizens say, yo, well, it's an epidemic, it's a problem, this is what we're doing. States are setting aside grant money. Feds are setting aside grant money. And now these people is coming, getting these grants, setting up these rehabs and these outpatient clinics and these inpatient, and all this stuff going on, and we ain't getting in none of this money. See, you got to understand how the money flowing, man. Anything is all monetary, man, so get in on the money. They giving away money for you to be helping these people. Who better than somebody coming straight home from jail who had bad experiences in life? Who better than somebody who used to get high back in days and know what it is, who been through all these rehabs and stuff? Take advantage of the system. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. You're right. Diddy? I mean, Slay?
So, and then another thing that we was talking about was just the change in healthcare, especially around stuff like the opioid epidemic. And what are you seeing, like, even as far as the change in dynamic, as far as from your point of view and you being behind the wall and some of those opinions inside?
About, like, healthcare? See, with me, man, I understand, like, it's people that need help. You got people that need help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's people that rely on help. You know what I'm saying? And this is what we have to really be honest about is that sometimes some people need to get off their tails and make a change and stop relying on, I said it last time, you keep waiting for these people to change their conditions. You wait for these people to get you a job. You wait for these people to get you health care. Like, so at one point in line, you got to say, you know what, I got to do this myself. Because now you just sitting waiting, and what if nothing happened? Then you just going to suffer? You ain't going to do nothing? And that's what happens. Nobody do nothing, and they suffer. Then they won't point a finger. At some point in time, you got to be responsible and say, I'm not waiting on none of that crap. I'm going to go do what I need to do, and I'm taking control of my life. You know what I'm saying?
And another big...
You keep waiting, man. That's like waiting for a mystery, man. You can't wait for no mystery. You got to take control of your life, man.
And another big topic was, you know, Meek Mills was just recently arrested after being on probation for what seemed like forever. So now, you know, he's kind of become the poster child for prison reform. But a lot of people, there's debates on, you know, whether he broke the law, even though, you know, people said that he shouldn't have been sent back to jail. What's your thoughts on, you know, just prison reform and different things like that that have to do with this situation?
Like, it boils down to what I said. Like, it boils down to money, fam. Like, these people that's getting rich and they just have these big corporate tax cuts and stuff. So you got to pay attention. And everybody wants to say, yo, we ain't getting no... Well, learn about corporations and incorporating yourself there. So you can get these tax breaks there. Learn the system, man. And with that, it's a system. This is money. Prison is money, man. You know how much money they're making off this commissary, off this emails they got? They're killing it, huh? Now they're doing the videos... The Skype videos and all that, they killing it. They not about to let up. You think they trying to let their pockets go? Hell no. Why? Well, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You gonna milk the system. You are, all right. They out there tell the lawyers, man, lock them up. We don't care what it is, man. Just give them time. We need to spend some money with us. We're a customer. We customers right now, huh? They turn all of us into customers, man. That's what they do.
So, Screw, I want to tell you something, that a law that was just passed, and it's starting out in Greene County. I don't know how it is in the feds, but now you cannot no longer send packages. You have to use a credit card or, like, a
outside vendor.
Outside vendor to be able to buy commissary for an inmate. So that kind of ties in. It piggybacks to what you're saying, that this is a business right now.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah, because in Greene now, you can't send direct packages.
Man, you know how much, when I was in the county, they was charging $1 for Oodle and Noodle, fam. Like, you know the markup? That's a crazy markup, fam.
Yeah.
$1? Come on, man. But see, they eating, they chewing. They chewing and they ain't going to stop because ain't nobody going to stop them. Because once you label the criminal, first and foremost, half the population don't even care about you no more. They can just do what they want to do with you. Then it's your family that care, and then, but, you know, they just willing to take care of you. Whatever the situation, they trying their best to take care of you.
Yeah.
So,
it's sad, you know. Go ahead.
Is there any other programs that's offering, like, because I'm always stuck on what's happening to inmates that's ready to come home, and how are they going to be able to adjust to the system when they get out of the system? Are they doing anything?
They got these classes, pre-release classes, anger management, whatever, adjusting to, but 90% of people that teach them classes ain't really helpful. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they just going to give you some textbook information. Here y'all go. Ain't nobody really care if you succeed or fail. And all the other programming they had, they got personal trainer. They got some HVAC classes that's good that somebody can use if that's what you went to. That's what you want to do when you go home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they don't let you do education no more, which is big that they took away because they ain't want brothers coming home with degrees. I don't know why, but see, that's kind of ties in. Like, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You want more people to come in here and get some degrees and come home with masters and all this, you know what I'm saying, to come home and do something with their education, but mm-hmm. they ain't going to give you that. It's hard to even get the trades in here anymore.
They took their education away?
Yeah. You could pay yourself, but it used to be free.
Oh, wow.
They took that away, though.
I didn't know about that, you Slay?
Yeah, I had heard that a while back.
Wow.
Yeah, because... You know, that was one of the things where they were saying, like, oh, well, you could go to jail and your education is free, but if you a regular citizen,
they like, yo, and people, I guess, they cry, why should they get a free education?
Yeah.
Because you trying to help the people at the bottom rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If somebody need help, that's what you're supposed to, but back to the question is, ain't nobody going to help you. Mm-hmm. But you put me in these conditions and say, this is a penalty, you need to rehabilitate yourself, but same time, you don't give me no programs, take the education away, you take them and everything away, and I'm left with just, you know, my joint in my hand, like, what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
This call is from a federal prison.
So,
Screw, what about pre-release, man? A lot of sentences that we're seeing now is that people are getting time, but then they're getting, like, extra time on top of the time when they get out. Like, I guess it's post-coverage or post-release supervision.
Yeah, that's like with me. They gave me like 31 years altogether. Mm-hmm. They got my time. Then I got the 8 years supervised release, which they can renew. I can violate with 7 years left, and they can start my time all over. You know, that's another trick they slid in the book.
Crazy.
Yeah, they master craftsmen, man. Hey, look, sell, knowledge. Oh, knowledge. Ever, man. Sal did like 8 years on paper. All he had was 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. He did like 8. So, and they getting time from you starting you over. Get time from you start you over. I mean,
yeah,
that's a trap, man. And they violate you for nothing, send you back to jail while you got a job, you got an apartment, you making payments on your car, you starting a family, but you smoke a blunt and they're going to send you to jail for it and just crush everything you just built instead of helping you.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all counterproductive what they're doing.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to cut us off, so,
Yeah.
We'll be back.
I'll meet you back.
All right.
I'll meet you back?
Yep.
Yeah. All
right, got you. All right.
We need to get into politics.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm going, though.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we're back. We're back, man. Let me give I got to give a clap for that. We are back live. Yeah. Anything you guys want to talk about that you heard that might be interesting or that kind of stuck in?
You know, he always drops, you know, a few gems, man. And one of them was, he said, and I ain't going to quote it perfectly, but he was saying, you know, some people need help and some people, you know, just using the help, basically. And he used different words. He said it like way more eloquently than I just did. But like, that's huge. Because, you know, a lot of times we do have people that, you know, use the system and abuse it. And then it gives anyone that really needs, you know, help and different things like that a bad name. And it makes them seem like they're lazy or they're whatever. Because, unfortunately, there are people that abuse certain services.
Yeah. Let's get back into it.
Let's go.
All right. We'll go into part two, man. We just continue on where we left off. One of the things I want to ask everybody is if you're listening in and you have listened to these interviews, if you guys could think of any question that you would want to ask them, please get them to me and Kamal.
Yeah.
I mean, as we continue to do these interviews, the questions become harder and harder because we've probably asked them everything.
Yeah.
You know, and if you could think of anything, he would love to hear questions from people that actually listen in. And again, shout out to King Kobe and everybody over there in Kasaki.
Yeah.
Because Kobe and them has sent in some questions and just some shout outs. So shout out to all of them.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Part two.
Kobe, what up?
What up, man? I'm going to play your track at the end of the show if I get it in. If not, I'll play it first thing on next week. You heard?
Not be charged for this call. This call is from?
Rashid Daniels.
An inmate at a federal prison. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. Hang up to decline the call or to accept. Dial 5 now. If you wish to block any future call.
Peace.
Screw, what's good, dog?
You.
Oh, what's up, what's up?
You hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, I want to jump right back into it. So, before we ended our first call, we was talking about the system and how they make it so business-like. So, I was thinking about one of the other interviews we did with you, and you had mentioned that, you know what, we are going to have to start getting into politics. Slay took that advice. He got into politics, and he actually won. Can you talk about how important you think that is and how much influence that he might be able to have on certain things inside of our community?
I mean, it's good to be in there on the inside because you get a say on the funds, you know, but enough of us got to be on the inside at the end of the day. It can't just be a couple of us. A lot of us got to be on the inside because this is a system that they made for them. It was never made to empower us. It's made to empower them. So you got to understand that. But that's a beautiful step, and hopefully people will follow that step because, you know, the more people in there, the more votes we get to funnel money to our communities and, you know, like you said, them grants and the education, you be in charge of the education. You know, that's the big thing also we need to take control of. But it just helps us when we're in control of the areas we live in instead of somebody that don't even go there being in control of the areas we live in and have a say about what go on in our neighborhoods and our communities.
What do you say to the people that are still saying in 2017, going into 2018, that my vote doesn't count? Like, I don't want to be a part of it. Politics is a scam. What do you say to them?
I mean, it is. I mean, to a degree, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, all these people, the people that win is the people with the money behind them on the biggest stages. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, all them people was winning because they got the money behind them. So the money behind them has an agenda for these people to push. They don't care about your agenda. They're going to tell you, you know, a lot of politicians, them senators, they just say what they want to say for you. And they'll throw you some crumbs, some stuff you're crying about, but really they trying to get in there and vote legislation for these bigger corporations and companies that's trying to push their agendas through. It's just the rich and power of the rich. And, you know, keep the middle class stable and let the poor get poor.
But that's on the big level. I'm talking about on a local level. On a local level.
Oh, that's what I said. Like, it take control of your communities. You know, like the aldermen. If you're the aldermen, take control and put people who have, you know, a sincere feeling about where they live and want to see it look better and, you know, be better and put them in the position.
Okay.
To be the aldermen. Because you get enough of them, then you tally up strength in that area.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Slay.
Man.
We was just talking off air, you know, about everything, about the first half of the interview and stuff like that. And I remember when you first got arrested and you got sentenced, the judge had made a comment to you that you were just too smart and too brilliant. And we just got to thinking, like, if you would have never chose the path that you chose, like, what could you see yourself in as a profession? Given all your intelligence and your talent.
I mean, knowing what I know now, I just would be a businessman. You know, like opening businesses, investing in businesses, real estate, stuff like that. Things where my money could grow and I just could flip it quick. Knowing what I know now. No, I definitely wouldn't be working for nobody. I don't, you know, that's just not my cup of tea. You know what I'm saying? I feel I have the ability to make my own money. Basically, that's it. I'd be real estate, opening businesses, franchising, import, export. It's a lot of money everywhere, man. You got to get involved in the money, man. The world bigger than just the state or the country. There's the whole world out there to get money in.
Yeah.
Let's turn the tables as we speaking about money and stuff like that. Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick. You know, what's your take on everything that Colin Kaepernick is going through, and how do you feel about what he's going through?
I mess with Cap, man. You know, that's my mom, too. I'm a Niner.
Yeah.
Me, too.
So I felt this movement, and when it first happened, me and the brother was in the TV room. I said he going to take the fall because at that moment, enough brothers didn't support him in that field. Mm-hmm. And I already knew. I said, if they don't support him now, they're going to leave him out to dry. And that's what happened. They left him out to dry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was supposed to stand up, but, you know, everybody don't feel the world is how it is. And he seen it, and he just spoke on it. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. Sometimes we be afraid to speak on the reality of things because of, you know, repercussions.
This call is from a federal prison.
In a position of power, but you ain't, you in a position of esteem and you making a lot of money, that can be taken away from you from the people in power if you get out of line. And as you see it happen, and that's what happened. They took him out. We're going to take these millions because we gave you a chance to get these millions. And that's why a lot of brothers in places, in high places, don't say nothing when stuff happens because at the end of the day, they don't sign their own paycheck.
Yeah. Right. So
they got to submit.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the
authority above him?
Yep. What do you think about the fact that he not only took that stance, but then he started using his own money to generate, you know, education and awareness about, you know, knowing your rights. And I mean, he hasn't stepped down. I mean, even though he's not playing in the National Football League, he's still providing information and knowledge to the people so that they know their rights and things like that.
Put his money where his mouth is. So he stood for what he stood up for what he represented. And a lot of us need to take that stance and pay attention to what he did. You know, don't just talk about it, be about it. Nah, man. Don't talk about it, be about it, man. Now, they ain't want to put him back in because he almost a martyr now. You know what I'm saying? Just in that sense of that. That people are like, damn, you know. But he also is a warning. And that go back to, like, the Willie Lynch letter, making him a slave, where if you get a Bolden mail, you demonstrate him. You make a demonstration of him. You took it away. We ain't never going to see him again. We're going to take everything away from him. And that's what they do. They make an example of you when you speak out. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, Diddy trying to buy the Carolina Panthers. You think that will ever happen? Will ever have a black owner of with somebody that is of Diddy's caliber?
They ain't even let Trump buy a football team, fam.
You know, being that, it's, you know, like a fraternity.
Trump trying to get the Bills, and they was like, nah, that ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if they go into business with each other, a couple people pull some money, maybe they can grab it like that. But him, I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard, like, just the Kaepernick thing is an example. They not having that.
Mm-hmm.
Heard what the Texas owner said, the inmates running the asylum. You know, they got a lot of slick shit they be saying, excuse my language, a lot of slick stuff they be saying, so they not having that. Them old white men, man, they ain't with that.
This call is from a federal prison.
They ain't with that, man. Make America great again. They ain't with that. Shut your black ass up, man. And be happy and be happy and be feel privileged that you able to get this money. That's what it is, man. That's what it is, man. So, you know, like I said, we need to just learn to pull our money together.
Yeah.
When we tally all the money we spend, we like the ninth most powerful country on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just us. But the thing is, we don't spend no money with us. Our money don't stay in our communities. Our money grow outside our communities. And every other ethnicity come to our communities and rape our communities. And we spend all our money with them and empower their communities. When you go to Koreatown, Chinatown, Little Italy, they all living good. But they ain't got nobody else living in their neighborhood. They ain't got nobody else selling nothing in their stores. It's all them. But you come to our communities, everybody, all the immigrants come over here, go straight to our communities, milk us for our money, don't kick nothing back to us, but we be happy to spend our dollars with them. And don't be happy to spend our dollars with each other. So it's us who need to wake up and realize that we need to treat our own. We need to take care of ourselves.
A lot of people say that we need to wake up, but how do you retrain a society that's only known this one thing to do? You know what I mean? I mean, you look at a lot of athletes and stuff like that. As soon as they got money, they left the hood, you know, and they didn't even look back. So what's your suggestion on retraining people so that they can be awoke?
First and foremost, education. You know what I'm saying? It's great to know education. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't need to know what happened in slavery. I don't need to know what happened. But learn your history. Know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Know what comes from you. Then you understand what you're capable of doing. Then you understand the missteps and the ropes that's been put on you to keep you held back from growing. I mean, every time there was an opportunity in this country for us to get ahead, the rug was always taken from under us. Mm-hmm. Like, this ain't no coincidence that our people be stuck in this position. We just keep playing the role to be in this position. Mm-hmm. But every time, like, you're talking about the alderman thing. It was a thing going on, I think it was Oakland, San Francisco, and one of the ladies, she's an alderman over there of a certain district, and she was saying when they legalized weed, she said, well, damn, all my people went to jail for this. Mm-hmm. So she came up with a thing where, and she did, she noticed that all the white people was the only ones that was getting licenses. Mm-hmm. Another thing they trying to keep us out of. No, always notice who getting the money now. They open all these weed things. We ain't going to be in there getting that money. They're going to try to keep us out of that. But she made a thing where she got it. You got to keep it level. So as you pull in too many white people, you got to stop that, and then you got to start letting the black people get the license in her district. So she made it where, yeah, all right, we're going to be able to get reap from these benefits too, not only y'all. So they put a law in for that. You know what I mean?
Okay, mm-hmm. That's what's up.
But it's just... You know, you just gotta be up on it, man. You gotta be serious.
Yeah.
I mean, you just gotta educate yourself, man. And you just gotta love your people, man. You gotta love yourself, love your color, man. You've been taught that everything about you is ugly, man. Mm-hmm. You gotta retrain your mind first on that. Because everybody else love you. They love their people. Mm-hmm. They love their people. They love their ethnicity. They love their culture. They love everything about themselves, man. We seem to be the only ones that have problems sometimes, man. And we need to just take a look at that.
You know, Kwanzaa started yesterday, and a lot of black people don't understand what Kwanzaa is, first of all. But we went out and we tried to find some Kwanzaa candles. I'm telling you, man, it was the hardest thing to find. Like, we found them at ShopRite. They wanted an arm and a leg. So, I mean, do we really have to get into the point where we're investing in black businesses? But how can we do that in Hudson when there's very few black businesses to invest in?
Because you need to create them there. This is what I'm saying about pooling money. Mm-hmm. Ain't no black corner store. Jake and them raped the community. They got their little ball. They came up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They made their little killing. Everybody supported that. But I don't know where the trickle down effect went. It is what it is, though. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, you just got to pull money together and say, yo, listen, all right, this is what we're going to do. And ain't nothing wrong with that. They got theirs. At the end of the day, they got theirs. They did what they set out to do. They looked out for their family. But, I mean, when you think of a larger picture, you got to think of a larger picture. And we keep thinking we need to be selfish and just do us. When nobody never got ahead just doing them.
Okay.
All mm-hmm. these people be going to organizations and clubs and all this stuff where they always pooling their money together. They always saying, all right, we're going to form this group, and this group is going to do this. So when you ever hear these people being vocal, it's always a group speaking. It's never an individual speaking. Yeah. And we've been fooled to think that it's just us. We got to do it by ourselves. You know, I'm going to come up by myself and do me. They don't happen like that. That ain't how you empower yourself. So that's another trick we fall into. So mm-hmm. it's just waking up, man. You got to see what's going on, man. And it's the same trick over and over and over and over again. That's why the history is important, because the same trick over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Just realize what's up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of our time, so I want to give you a chance to say whatever message you got that you want to say, any shout-outs or anything like that.
You know, I want to shout out, man, a brother, man. He always come through once in the blue, and he send me a little letter, send me a card or something, man. Polo, man, I want to say shout-out to Polo, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you,
man. I love mm-hmm. you, brother. You know what I'm saying? A little shout-out to him, man, because he always, every once in a while, I just come out the blue, man. You know what I'm saying? And I know Lo forever, but... We ain't mm-hmm. never hang out like that.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But the love is there, so I respect it. And I just wanted to shout him out, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I just shout the hood out in general, man. You mm-hmm. know? Everybody get up, man. Stay up. Take care of yourself, man. That's all. Do better, man. Need to get about that joint. That joint. When I hear that joint going down fast, man.
it's going to be an interesting couple of years.
I be telling people, notice what's going on, man. Find your opportunity, man. There's mm-hmm. opportunity. There's opportunities there to get in. You got to get in, though.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get in, man. You got to get in. There's a lot of wealth going around there, man. If you can't tap into none of that, man, you in the way.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of wealth coming up that way, man. A lot of wealth coming up that way, man. So, you know, understand the people you're dealing with, man, and tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. All right, Diddy, man.
Thank y'all, brothers, man. Also, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Love y'all, man.
Happy New Year's anyway, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Happy New Year's to y'all, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we looking at this being the first show.
All right, Diddy, man. Stay up, dog. Much love, man.
All right. Yeah. Peace, y'all. You heard? One.
Yeah, yes, sir.
One.
Uh-huh. Slay, I tell you, man, every time we do this, it just gets better and better each time. Whew. And it makes you want to say, listen, let's do 4 more phone calls, man. But I'm going to put this together, and it's a wrap, dog.
Yeah.
All right.